Morning Show with Peaches and DJ Motai.
What's going down? It's your homie Dope Beezy, the Southeast Beast.
What's going on, man? It's your boy Jack Freeman, H-Town representative.
It's your boy D-Lo, man.
It's Cav the Don, man.
What's good, Space City, the great city? It's your boy Roos Williams.
Hi, this is Booker T, five-time WCW champion, and you're listening to the Brad Gilmore Show. Now, can you dig that, sucker? I'ma hit when you're home.
I'ma miss it when you're gone. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show.
On demand.
On demand.
Yeah. We're here. Hey, girl. Peaches.
I'm fixing your red eyes with your bright self.
Hey, you can worry about pictures later. We're trying to introduce them to another edition of the podcast, and you're not helping me.
What's a podcast? Have you ever thought about that word?
I don't know what it means. I did think about that the other day.
Like, how do you cast
a funny word?
I don't know what an iPod. Like, I don't get the term I. I don't see why they do I anything.
Is it like iApple? Like, where, like...
I think podcast is from Apple. I think is what they think.
What?
Is that, did they not invent podcasting?
I mean, I'm asking what the actual word podcast, like...
Where does it come from?
It's two syllables,
so you make podcast, and you have a prefix and a suffix. So, pod. What's a pod?
I don't know. I just thought, like, it was a derivative from iPod, so it was like an iPod broadcast. A podcast. That's how it made sense in my head.
So you can listen to broadcasts on your iPod.
That's what I doing iTunes whatever. Or whatever.
You haven't told me what a podcast
is. What we're doing right now.
Who are you yelling at?
You.
You don't do that when ain't nobody here.
Yes, I do.
There's people here right now. What are you talking about?
Tyler's here.
I'm here.
DJ Motai's here.
He ain't nobody.
Bow. Wait.
Oh.
Look, he was talking about you while you wasn't here.
I wasn't talking about him. You said that throughout the entire interview that people are about to listen to.
Because it's a fake Monday morning.
Good morning, guys.
Welcome to Fake Mondays on the Brad Gilmore Show.
Fake Monday mornings because it's 8
o'clock right now, 8 a.m.
It's 6:17, but in your eyes, it's 8 a.m. because we just released this.
Oh, yeah.
Bow.
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 See, I went up a 17th step. That doesn't exist, but I did it anyway. Hey, everybody. We really appreciate the big outpour of and good feedback from our first edition of the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand. We're going to keep getting better and better and growing this thing into its own beast.
Ask Peaches come out tomorrow.
Ask Peaches. Make sure you ask Peaches. Hashtag Ask Peaches. Check out at DJ Motai for any DJ needs. And check out our band at 2011. Those are all our ats on adding ats. Things. Also,
how you gonna stop my ads? How you know I was done?
At Tata La Peaches with a Z because you're ratchet in real life.
On everything.
And in the studio.
On Twitter.
And over the phone.
On Instagram.
And over the
and
phone.
And on Vine.
Okay.
And on the podcast.
You good?
I don't know yet. Let me see.
And on a podcast.
Does Ask Peaches, are you going to get an app for that?
I should get an app.
Should an app for that.
We got to give me an app.
Oh, we have there's a Brad Gilmore Show app.
What did I do with Ask
Peaches? Hey, if y'all want to download...
Like, see
how
you
on.
Did that?
Hold on.
It can never be about me.
Hey, let me talk. Let me talk. Hey, if y'all want to download the Brad Gilmore Show app, go to bradgilmore.podbean.com/mobile and click the save to home screen button.
It's in the middle.
It's not
going to
be in the app store anytime soon.
It's working. We're working on the app store, okay? Don't put me out there like that, DJ Motai.
39 cents.
It's going to be free.
39 cents.
Why would it be? Why 39 cents?
Because it ain't a whole dollar.
Thanks. I appreciate the socks. Shout out to Soul Purpose for the socks, man. Appreciate it. Anyway, hey, but if you want to hear more from the Brad Gilmore Show, the iTunes algorithm has to do some stuff. So
spell algorithm.
I don't know. You spell it.
I didn't say it.
So I can't say a word? I use the word cantankerous in my everyday vernacular. I can't spell that.
It's phonetic.
Okay, Peaches, spell phonetic.
P-H-O-N.
Okay, I don't care.
Okay.
Okay, but anyway, make sure you rate, review.
I was gonna be able to do
make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell people how much
you want Brad to shut up.
Tell people how, yeah, you don't want to hear me talk and you want DJ Motai to conduct the interviews from now on. Do whatever you want to do, as long as it's good. Don't give us negative feedback. I don't understand why people do that.
Subscribe.
Let me tell you about your negative feedback. We don't have any, so I don't care.
Yeah, we don't have any.
Subscribe.
Make sure you subscribe, though. That's the main thing. And if you want to advertise...
You look like a subscribe.
Subscribe.
If you want to advertise or sponsor the Brad Gilmore Show, you can. I just need you to email the Brad Gilmore Show at gmail.com and DJ Motai will answer you.
So now you're answering.
I thought Peaches was doing it.
It changes from week to week. I don't know. We had a good interview. we had a good interview with DJ DMD. He is the man behind 25 Lighters on my dresser.
Yes, sir.
We're about to get into DJ Motai's mix here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, and then we're gonna play our interview with DJ DMD. We're talking about his transfer from 25 Lighters to 25 Bibles. Ooh, yeah.
No, sir.
All right. Make sure y'all stay tuned. DJ Motai, spin us out, player.
Love it, man. Love it, man. Love it, man.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes, sir. I got stuck, get paid.
We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes, sir. Got to get paid. I got 25 lighters for my 25 phone. About to break the mic, then break 25 boom. About to rip the track with about 25 flows. And I'm dipping like a Mac with about 25 holes. 25-5, carry diamonds in my brain. 25-12s in the trunk, got the bang. Make moves to make a quick 25 mil. Come up so I can knock off Big 99 Sophia. Got to take me by 25 yellow bones home. Do them bad to make them 25 phone. Call daddy, tell him 25 got to go. DMD them, put it down, 25 out the door. Hitting the highway, doing 25 shows. 25 limos, slamming 25 doors. Representing for those, holding 25 screws in the deck. I'm a wreck and rip 25 crews.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes sir. I got stuck in paid.
We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes sir. Got stuck in paid.
Love it.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes sir. I got stuck
in paid. We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes sir. Got stuck in paid.
I jumps up early and I yawn to stretch. Another day, another dollar, another case to catch. I take my time and realize that this game is real. I got my mind on form, but I'm swinging barber grill. Got to act real bad when I close red doors. I'm shooting spiders off my rim cause I'm riding on foes. And niggas don't understand that we be drinking the norm. Never trust broads, live fraud. On the board is where I swing, where I claim my name. Back in the game, Crucial Wood, Texas free game. It's the 9-8 and I'm jumping in the mist. Rocks up on my wrist and got haters off my list. How you like my nap? Cause I'm real. Coming down, piece and chain, four shiny grills. Got to bring hat, where them boys at? Fresh to break the mic down, it's that fat pad.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes sir. I got stuck in paid.
We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes sir. Got to get paid.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes sir. I got stuck in paid.
We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes sir. Got stuck in paid.
So cold in the game. Southside player screwed up. Click main with the body set. You can bet we smooth as a bit. Coming through this motherfucker, man. Hold up and split. Some niggas catch me high like that, and some niggas act like they gonna pull a gat. But they better watch out for the RPAT. Ask them motherfucking haters, can they handle me? Cause I be so cold in this game. Coming down on the swing. Real wood grain on the shirt, niggas pain. Cause you try to jack a real true D. Coming down the boulevard, can you see me? Swing and swing and swing to live. Pop my trunk and yip, yip, yip. Niggas better see a nigga roll. Starts down and I'm rolling on native foes. It's the nigga FAT, represent the clique. Right up in the bowl and a whole lot of shit. You better look around cause yeah, you might be standing. I'ma say hold up and scream goddamn it. Cause I'ma let the cat gon' rip and gon' take a trip. And it's an empty clip, let's throw it off the ship. Cause it's a throwaway gap, it's the fat bet. Where them haters at, where them haters at, man.
I got
to get paid. We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes sir. Got to get paid.
25 lighters on my dresser, yes sir. I got to get paid.
We got 25 lighters on the dresser, yes sir. Got to get paid.
Now I'ma say afraid of dissing, but there's some rappers in my city afraid to mention. They gotta pay to make y'all pay attention. But not me though, the H-Town hero here to come to save my city with a flow sicker than chemo. Got your hoe looking, cause she know that if you one of them people out there waiting for me to fail, you better off trying to find Nemo. I'm a boss off of my C-No. And if you talk shit, you get slid like Jordan did. Russell at the free throw.
It's
game time, man. My year that started fine. Got on the grind and skipped the D-League and made the starting line. I'm about to do way more than shine. I'm about to blind those that was sleeping on dope. This the alarm clock, and I bet you they ain't sleeping no more. And if they is, they either dumb on dope or dog food, or somewhere on the corner being a bitch like the laws do. They try to box me in, but I split that shit. They made the walls move. And today they gave me a microphone. Today they made the wrong move. Now I'm about to light the city up.
Light you up like a fire.
And this is Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid.
I just want to light you up. Light you up like a fire.
My nigga face say you a threat to these niggas, and they ain't gon' like it, but I bet you get respect from these niggas. When I stand next to these niggas, I see nothing but rookies next to a goat. The sick is spitting, yeah, though BZ had that strip to your throat. I don't play no games, but need that drink, I got connects to the foe. And I know this Reggie Bush and Kool-Aid, but my neck full of dro, cause I keep some dotey in the bag protected. But even when I smoke Reggie, man, it's good, like Kobe at the last second. I stay wrecking like a nigga need a tow truck. Reggie and dro blunts that had me high for over 4 months. Yeah, don't roll dunks, but the skunk keep me stupid high. And I'm super fly, so hoes wanna ride with me like do or die. In competitions, I'm really known to ever lose a tie. Bitch, I'm known to get e-board to business like a suit and tie. No slit wrist, but a nigga flow suicide. Best rapper in Texas, you decide, nigga.
I just want to light you up. Light you up like a fire. I just want to light you up. You like a fire.
Okay, first things first. Pussy motherfuckers better hold they purse. If you ain't on my team, please step to the side. I will not be present when they roll in your hearse. Shout one time for the real motherfuckers that'll speak they mind when they do see fit. Stand up, cast no seats in the villain. If you think you the villain, are you losing grip? Finger on the trigger when the Uzi hit. You gonna recover or will you be split? Down on both knees, sucking on dick. Eerily similar to a groupie bitch. I'm still in the game, been drilling my name. Fake goes both ways, street women the same. And I don't give a shit if she gonna be giving me brain, cause it ain't gonna be different after we biggity bang. You feeling me, man? I'm telling you, I seen it, I done it, I mean it, I want it. I'm feeling undefeated, I'm hunting these fraudulent motherfuckers because they thinking they something. I need to be coming up in the ring to beat them and cuff them. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Gotta make these people recognize who they dealing with. Mr. Windy Times finna walk up at the dealership in the rain. Goddamn thing you could tell.
Always got your hand out and you knocking at my door, cause you
fraudulent.
If I was you, I'd slow my roll, cause we all know you
fraudulent.
The type to smile and give me down. When I turn around, you stab my back. Boy, I ain't messing with that.
I do what I say what I do. That's how I sleep, no it ain't about you. Just cause I know him don't make him my crew. Just cause I'm with her don't make him my boo. Authenticity ain't that prevalent. Got a real friend, be thankful, treasure it. Can't overstate it, you can't embellish it. Brawlsville is an overpopulated settlement. Tell them people there, I don't wanna visit them. Tell Barack, push the button, get rid of them. I'm just playing, but I'm talking about principle. Tolerance is minimal, generally in general. Bubba K, been a fool, give them something to listen to. They don't wanna hear though, running from your fear, grow. Face it and embrace it and eventually replace it with courage and assurance. Not a fraudulent occurrence. Hate is a deterrent, a disservice to the money man. If you fail to understand, you gon' need another plan. If somehow you overstand, you gon' do the running man. Standing on a 100 grand with a summer tan. In the dead of winter, cause you posted up in a tropical spot like a big, big winner. Indigenous brawl, about to run up in a. Or you can just stay fraudulent.
Always got your hand out and you knocking at my door, cause you
fraudulent.
If I was you, I'd slow my roll, cause we all know you
fraudulent.
The type to smile and give me down. When I turn around, you stab my back. Nah, homeboy, I ain't messing with that. Cause you full up in that old school. Tell these motherfuckers that I know I look young, but mama did not raise no fool. Stupid ass thinking that you so cool. Put your hand down, I don't know you. Got no buzz, kinda like an old dude. But honestly, what the fuck are you gon' do? Cause whenever I'm coming, you want me rubbing it on rude. Ooh, that's nasty, sir. Chainsaw spit like massacre. I gotta look through the lens and focus the aperture. Cause every woman I meet want me to go after her. It's like, goddamn, dog, I don't got the patience. And Corellin' with the pen, I'm feeling raven. Ask on the desk with the S on my chest. But the moral of the story is that can't nobody save them. Slab ride in my dreams if I could. But for now, I whip it too dope. Sit it with the coupe, bro.
Reppin' my city whenever I get a million. Y'all reinvested in every one of you better feel me. I'm telling you that it's Whitney Houston till I'm gone. Cheapin' on that cheaper, taking two shots of Patron. Better holla at your guala. By the time we meet tomorrow, you could be another motherfucker moving with the song.
Always got your hand out, then you knocking at my door. Cause you
fraudulent.
If I was you, I'd slow my roll. Cause we all know you
fraudulent.
The type to smile and get me down. When I turn around, you stab my back. Nah, homeboy, I ain't messing with that. Cause you
alright, hello everybody, welcome to the Brad Gilmore Show on demand.
On demand.
We're here live in Brown Sugar Studios. I got DJ Motai here.
To his left. Oh, you gotta say to my left.
No, you're just gonna say like DJ Mo. Hey, what's up everybody? Like,
oh, wait, what's up everybody?
We have Peaches here.
Got Peaches here.
To my right.
I'm in front of you.
To my right.
No.
Whatever. We're here about to do our second episode of the On Demand Show, Peaches.
Wow.
How you feeling? Second. But hey, 77th, I believe, overall.
What day did I start last year?
You think that those dates are significant in my mind?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Y'all ain't gonna throw me a party in this
game? We might. You're coming up on a year. Yeah, we're coming up on two. Mm-hmm. What's up, OGs?
2 years.
Well, we want to introduce our...
What?
I love Tyler, man. DJ Motai, I mean, like, pause, but the Asian can. We have a great guest today. I'm really excited about it. He's a legend. Some might consider him. Some might consider him an OG. Which means old geezer. No, I'm joking.
I'll take that.
We have DJ DMD, Mr. 25-8. How you doing, sir?
Man, I cannot complain. I'm a little, excuse me, I'm a little under the weather, but I'm happy to be here, man. I cannot complain.
Got a cold a little bit or what?
Well, here's a bug went around a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if any of y'all ever caught it. You don't do, but oh, praise! Yeah. I like that.
I'm not with the sickness. Hard.
I had some shows to do, and my DJ brought a cold with him, and you know when you're in close quarters, that's horrible. So I tried to stay away from him, but you know he's my DJ. We rooming together, so I eventually caught it, and I've been dealing with it for about 13 days, but it's on its way out.
It's on. Hey, as long as it's about to get out of here. And, new day tomorrow,
and it's not contagious. I'm beyond contagious, so y'all good.
Okay, how do you know that you're beyond contagion?
I don't know.
You're just making that up, right?
It's making us feel better.
I shook his hand on the way in.
You got my car. You know, call me. Just don't cuss me out.
I need health insurance. No.
But thank you for having me, guys, for real.
We appreciate it. Now, you've been on once before, mm-hmm. a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was maybe for like 5 minutes, yep. though, and it was over the phone. Like, I want to take this time to explain what happened.
Okay.
Okay, it wasn't my fault. All right.
That day, I don't remember which episode that was. I don't know what else we did that day, but I do remember that day.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you what happened. Okay. This is the truth. Okay, this is the truth.
It's a lie.
It's the truth. Can I tell the story?
Sure.
I got a call the night previously,
okay.
from some people in New York who said, "Hey, the RZA will be in town tomorrow. He's promoting his new movie. We want you to go interview him." And I was like, "Okay, what? When and where?" They said Warehouse Live at 4:00, and I was like, "Well, I have a radio show at 4:00."
Mm-hmm.
They're like, "Well, this is the only time, so you got to get this in here, or you got to, you know, right. we're gonna pass on it." I was like, "I got to take the RZA interview."
Yes, sir.
And then I literally went, "Yes, sir."
Yes, sir.
And then I literally had to get out, left the RZA interview, sped to the station, which was over on Main and Richmond at the time, right, to try to get that interview in. I wanted to go more extensively with you, and Peaches wasn't helping me at all.
Well, you know what?
Wait. Peaches. It was raining.
It was raining that day.
Remember that day when we were all late? Like, everybody.
Everyone was late. He was there first.
It was really bad. I was coming from the north side, like off of Greens. I beat him there. That's the day that we interviewed.
Hash Brown was another guy.
Yeah. So that was that day. It was the rainfall.
I mean, I wasn't tripping. I mean, at the time that we did the interview, you know, my record was, you know, relatively new anyway. So
yeah.
Any type of exposure, I was just thankful to get it. So I never thought anything of it, dude. I
just wanted to let you know, because I really wanted to go in depth with, you know, with you, Pauls, and get to know you more.
Cool,
you know what I'm
cool,
saying? And we could connect cool on a level of a friendship, right, Peaches?
Amen.
Hey, I want to have friends. All right, I like friends. I like making friends. I like talking to people, meeting people, finding out new experiences. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I like that too.
Me too. I like talking too. So we're gonna
thank you.
We're gonna be good together.
Thank you. So you're here.
Yes, sir.
We're here live in the Brown Sugar Studios, like I previously stated. And I want to talk about a gang of things. What? I can't have my my actions, Peaches. I can't say gang of things.
But this is gonna be fun.
What is wrong with you?
She's in a good mood today.
You know what? I don't think she was until you got here.
Oh.
You brightened up her mood.
Like, my life, it consists of struggles that happen a lot. And I just don't feel like it. Like, I don't feel like dealing with it. So I'm just putting it away.
Well, you're brightening my day, sweetie. You're brightening my day.
If that's any consolation, you're brightening DJ DMD's day.
Well, thank you for having me again.
So let's go. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
All right. Okay. We don't normally do this, but I want to. I want to start from the beginning. Tell me how you got into hip hop, and then we're going to take it from there.
I'm originally from Port Arthur, raised up. Port Arthur, the land of the trill.
Yeah.
And about like 12, 13, I got interested. The hip hop kind of wave hit Port Arthur, Beaumont area. And me and a group of guys were kind of like the first ones to really grab it. Break dancing, graffiti, DJing, the whole nine, all of that. And ultimately, I fell in love with DJing. And from there, it led to production. And from there, it led to grabbing the mic, wanting to rap. And then from there, it led to wanting to run my record label to put records out. And that's how I got involved in it. When I'm not trying to date myself, but when I jumped into hip hop, I mean, we're talking about Eric B. Rakim days. You know.
You're talking about like the first big wave.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're talking about, like I said, I don't want to date myself, but but we're talking about early 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Early 80s, Run DMC and all of that. So those kind of artists influenced me at the beginning. And then, so I've kind of grown with hip hop over the course of 20, 30 years. You know what I mean?
So you've seen a lot.
I've seen it all,
bro. Seen big changes.
I've seen it all. I was around in love with hip hop when Two Live Crew was taken, going to the Supreme Court, you know, opened up the doors for us to get Gangsta on records, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember the Polka Dots with Kwame and Tribe Called Quest.
See, I don't know the Polka Dots thing.
Oh, wait. Well, you got to research Kwame.
I'm gonna have to research that.
But I mean, I've seen the phases of hip hop. I've seen it grow to where it is today. And in the 90s, when we started putting out records for, you know, trying to represent Texas, we wanted to give Texas its own sound. And at the time, UGK was starting to make some real noise. UGK,
yeah.
For everybody who may not know, they're originally from Port Arthur.
Yeah.
I actually taught Pimp C how to make beats. Pimp C used to stay in my house, and I used to stay at his house, and I used to teach him how to work his equipment. When he was a ninth grade, curly hair, Jerry Curl wearing trumpet player at Lincoln High School. And I'm a couple of years older than he, so he fell in love with the crew that I had, and he wanted to be a part of it. So we just vibed. And I took him under my wing, and when I graduated high school, you know, being older, I went my way. He ultimately went his way and became what they became, and gave me my first real big break in the industry. I had done stuff on my own independently, but in 1993, 94, he came at me to look for some production for the Super Tight album.
Yeah.
And that was the album that really set him off, you know, and I wound up having three beats placed on it, and I also rapped on it, and I produced the first single, and it did real well for the dudes, man, and it opened the doors for them, and it opened the doors for me, and a lot of people in Houston started looking for this DJ DMD dude.
See, you got to think, like, you were in hip hop in a time in the early 90s to where rappers were still stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like nowadays, they're still big stars, but there's so many like social, like you said, what we were talking about before the show. There's so much social media,
right,
and YouTube. So
right,
everyone's a celebrity. But you were in there when they were still stars. Who are some of the people you may like rub shoulders with? They were like, oh man, this is, you know, Rakim,
I mean,
him or whatever.
I've toured with Jay-Z. I've toured DMX, all of those guys from the New York scene or whatever. And just locally, you know, the local superstars we had, all of the Screwed Up Click, UGK, cats in Louisiana, whatever. But you're right, back in the day, the reason why it was so different was because it cost so much money to play the game then.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, I mean, we didn't have internet and social media and free uploading videos and all that stuff. I mean, people, if I just tell you just in comparison, the original 25 lighter video, if you ever saw how cheesy and cheap it looked, I mean, come on, man, it looked crap. That video cost me almost $80,000.
Holy
moly.
I mean, the game changed. $80,000 for that video. We used for the samples on my second album, 22, the one that blew up, we wound up paying about $100,000 for samples. But the difference is cats used to be able to go platinum in a week.
Yeah.
You know, and you sell $10 CDs for at a million of them in a week,
yeah,
you could make some money.
You're doing pretty good.
No, yeah.
So, I mean, and locally, one of the reasons why the Texas scene was so attractive to the rest of the world was because we had figured out how we could make, if you sold 30,000 CDs at $10 a pop, that's some money.
Yeah, that's a come-up. That's a big come-up.
They don't do that no more. You can't. It's hard to sell 30,000 records nowadays. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but back in the day, the game was changed. So it took a lot of money to play the game. It took a lot of money. So the few cats that did make it, you know, they put the work in. Nowadays, it's not like that because anybody with a camera, anybody with a computer, anybody with a couple of dollars for some studio equipment could call themselves a producer, a record company, whatever. Anybody.
Anybody, yeah.
One of the disadvantages of the current state of the game, but that's what makes it. That's what make that era so special to people like me, because being around when Snoop Dogg, I remember when Snoop, there was a club in Houston called Studio 59. That might be way before you. Studio 59 was a huge club. I think it was off of Harlem. It was somewhere on the southwest side, West Park, I believe. And it was like the huge spot of the day back in the day. And I remember before Snoop was Snoop.
Yeah.
Snoop opening up for like Ghetto Boys.
Oh, wow.
Scarfacing them. And I remember it's stuff like that we remember, you know, coming up, and then to watch him blow up the way he did was amazing.
And to me, Snoop is like one of like, to me, I think there's like three or four guys in hip hop who are like, I don't want to say bigger than the genre, but are just globally known. You know what I'm saying? Like Snoop will always, everyone will always know Snoop Dogg.
You'll be relevant.
Jay-Z, Eminem, those guys. You know what I'm saying? Like they're very few, like us mega stars. Do you think that in today's market there is an opportunity for someone to become a mega star like those guys?
I believe there always is, because I mean, I'm a firm believer in the cream will always rise to the top.
Yeah.
I don't care in what era, whatever is going on, the good talent will always trump a lot of stuff in the end. It makes it harder for the cream to rise to the top because it's so diluted with a lot of subpar, sub-average, you know, it's kind of everybody, the consumer has so many people pulling at him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So makes it harder, but like I said, I'm a firm believer, cream will rise to the top. So if cats are abiding by good music business principles, and they are extremely talented, ultimately they'll get their shine. Now I don't know to the level of mega stardom.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I've perceived the game in the 13, 14 months I've been studying it, it seems like if you do achieve that type of status today, it's a whole nother level, because everything is global. I mean, no longer you have to deal with region by region by region by region. If you wind up catching on the internet, I mean, if you become a YouTube and you get viral, you automatically, and I've heard of stories like this, cats that get a million views for a little video or whatever, and then they wind up doing $20,000 shows off of one YouTube.
Look,
you know
that,
what I'm saying?
That, what's that guy's name? The
I heard some Trinidad, Trinidad James dude.
Yeah.
Kinda like built the book. Soulja Boy was one of the guys who used technology to build the name or whatever.
He might have been the first that I really just can remember.
So you can, but I don't know if those artists that you just named are extremely talented and have their own niche in the game. You know, nobody sounds like Snoop. Nobody sounds like Eminem. They would have, So those principles remain the same. And the same thing happens today. Cats like Trinidad and cats like Soulja Boy, I'm going to say this respectfully. But they ain't nothing different than a lot of other people that's doing records.
You know, with that being said, when you think of Snoop, you don't think of anyone else that could do Snoop.
Right.
And when, you know, you think of Jay-Z, you don't think of anyone else that can do or be what Jay-Z is. But a lot of these artists, like, you can find another Soulja Boy. You can find
Trinidad.
Is it like a, it's almost like a Ponzi scheme. Mm. You can find someone to do that. So what do you think it would take for, you know, local talent or talent that's coming out to try to be like a Snoop or like a Jay-Z?
Well, it, what people have to realize in being a creative person and artist, rule number one is originality. And I believe that the current state of the music business is because we don't preach that enough to cats. So people get caught up in the cookie cutter thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like that. Trust me, it was like that back in the day. You had artists that was mimicking other artists that were successful, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, but and it's probably going to be like that forever. So the principle is the same. As an artist, what you want to do is you want to do a lot of soul searching, self-evaluating, hard critiquing of yourself to find your voice. You know, that's going to always be the formula in any era. Find you as an artist. But what a lot of people do is they look at entertainment as a whole as a hustle, another means to just get famous.
Yeah.
It's not about the art. It's probably even more so now to where people just want to be seen and want to be famous. And it's less to do with wanting to put out good art. Back in the day, I don't, you know, that was one of the staples of hip hop. Because it was so hard to get into the genre, first of all, to play the game. But, so that means you really had to have something different than the next guy. I mean, really, if you're going to invest $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 to play this game, you want to make sure that you think you got it to compete.
Yeah.
So we as artists, we spend a lot of times letting people hear demo tapes, letting people give us criticism so we can fine-tune our sound and figure us out and make us sound different than somebody else. Today, because everybody can just upload something, they don't do the hard work to find that voice. You know, it's as hard work to find your voice. That's not something that's just easy. Because Snoop, Eminem, all those people, if you studied their history, they were whack at one time.
Oh, yeah.
We always whack.
Who starts off good?
Everybody starts off whack. And what you do is they fine-tune their craft. They put themselves through the rigmarole to figure out if they were good, and they got better and better. Nowadays, it's not like that. Everybody thinks that just because I can make a beat and I can put it on YouTube that I'm good.
Yeah.
And they don't really, because you can do it that easy, I don't need to know what you think, brother. You know what I'm saying? And what they failing to realize is that they are killing themselves. You're not getting to the truth on whether or not you can make it. So I go through internet. I'm on YouTube, Twitter, clicking on links. And it's amazing to me at the amount of whackness that's out there.
There's
man.
More. There's more it's, garbage
it's
than there
crazy.
Is.
It's crazy. But that's just a direct result of somebody not doing the hard work that you're supposed to do as an artist to decide whether or not you have it. The downside of the way the game is, I believe it's a lot of people wasting a lot of their lives chasing a dream that will never come to fruition. And that's a sad thing for me to see, man.
Yeah.
For somebody to be chasing, thinking that I could see somebody going 10, 15 years still doing a little demos and that, not, you know, putting the stuff, not doing the hard work to figure out if I should be playing the game at all, because it's so easy to quote unquote play the game nowadays. So you 15 years into the game, you still ain't selling no records, you still ain't making no buzz, but you still think you got a chance.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden 15 years gone, you can't get them 15 years back, you know.
There's so many struggle rappers that like that try to like shop their demos to me at gas stations. And just it's like, hey, man.
That's happened to me so many times.
And I swear, I'm not judging them, but they look homeless. Yeah, and I'm like, where do you record?
It's kind of scary.
Where do you record?
And it's going to get worse, brothers.
Yeah.
As the technology gets better and faster and more convenient and cheaper, affordable, cats could spend $200 and be able to put out beats, you know, make beats. Cats doing videos for like $100. When I got back into the business a year and something ago and I got on the net, and I saw people leasing beats for like $10. I mean, $10 leases.
As you know, somebody who used to produce, like, how does that make you feel?
I mean, it's I'm just like, man, you're saying a lot about how much you value your art, you know, what you were. But I understand nowadays, because of the incredible amount of people, quote unquote, playing the game, that now it's about quantity over quality.
Yeah.
That's why you got, it's so easy to make a cookie cutter beat, the sound of the moment. That's why you got so many records that sound the same, because it's so easy to make a beat that sound like so-and-so, and you just change a note, and now you got another beat. And then if you listen it to 100 people, and 100 people rapping to the same beat, and they all putting it on YouTube.
I've never understood how leases work.
Well,
you
leases,
know?
All that means is I'm giving you the right to use my production, and if something happens with it, whatever, I still own it. And we'll take care of the business later if it gets picked up,
okay,
and you start making some money, da da da. And then people are selling, you know, calling it exclusive sales, where you can buy this beat and it's yours.
Okay.
You know, really, that's how we used to operate in the back, back in the day. I never leased a beat. You either wanted the beat for 5 G's,
yeah, or
you didn't want the beat. Yeah,
right.
You know,
and that's another thing. Like you said, 5 G's is like, say, I mean, that could just be like a normal price for a beat, but nowadays, you know,
$10 leases.
You know, it's another crazy thing that I noticed, like back in like the day, like early 90s, maybe even late 80s, is like if you stole someone else's like flow or something, you get jumped. If you stole someone else's beat,
that was a violation.
You get jumped.
Yes,
sir. If you diss someone on another record, they're going to have their 5 minutes with you.
Violation.
But nowadays, like, people will just put out, I honestly think that people will just call each other and be like, hey, I think I'm going to put out a diss record to you to start some buzz. Like, I think that, isn't that how it happens?
I could imagine it. I could imagine it.
Yeah, let me
just to create some controversy, to get some noise, to get some whatever. And it's sad that that's where it is. But that's why the art is the way it is right now. You don't have a whole bunch. It's sad. Back in the day when back in the day, you could turn on, I'm not going to say a station, but you could turn on a radio station and hear a wide variety of hip-hop records.
Yeah.
You could hear East Coast flavor. You could hear West Coast flavor. You could hear South Midwest flavor. Right now, all the records sound a lot the same, man. They all.
It's not even hip-hop.
I don't even know what to call it no more.
Other genres. No, I'm saying like other genres, they sound the same as.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Why is that? Said, cookie cutter. You know what's weird is you're right. Like, you could used to be able to, like, When the Mobb Deep record came on,
you knew
that was the East Coast.
Yes,
that's Mobb Deep.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
Same thing for the South and then for West Coast. But nowadays, like, you're right. Like, everyone, and I think what it is like, they're like, a producer will get hot. Like, just say, like, Mike Will made it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody from all around the world, you know, all around the nation, I want a beat from Mike Will. So you're going to have, you know, whoever, they're all going to have. And a lot of people are on the same songs with each other.
Hmm.
Like, I feel like it's like the same three people on every record.
That's sad.
When you get hot, you ride a wave. Like, you don't.
Now, are we to blame the artist completely for that? Or does the label get some of that? Or does the consumer get some of that?
The label's just trying to make their money. At the end of the day, they're worried about breaking even.
Whatever selling.
Yeah.
See, if they've invested money into an artist, then they're not worried about the extra stuff. As long as their money is being returned, mm-hmm, plus some, then you can't really blame the label. They're going to brand or they're going to push whatever's going to be bought. Now, as an artist, you know, I think it would depend on when you got into this, was this where you wanted to be? When you sat down and said, okay, I'm gonna be a rapper, and this is what I'm going to rap about, and, you know, if this is going to be what I'm going to do, then you think, okay, well, have I conformed to what's out there just to make a buck?
Speak.
But then are they to blame?
Yeah.
Because they're trying to make a... They got to eat.
And that's where Christian hip-hop is so different. That's why I'm in love with it. Because it ain't about the money. And I believe if we're going to have a revival, per se, in creativity and hip-hop, it's going to come from a genre that's built on, number one, truth, and that's being true. Let me just say that, being true, and it's going to be built on a genre that's built on not chasing paper, where it really is about the art. The good thing about this current state of the game is that because of the technology, independents can do kind of what we want to do. You know, we're not necessarily having to chase the major label deal down in order to sell records. We got to get more... You got to get more creative in order to sell product or to get a buzz, but it doesn't cost as much as it did back in the day. That's one of the advantages of the state of the game right now. And I think Christian hip hop, the artists in it, we understand that we have to be true to ourselves. And one of the things that we have to we understand we don't want to be cookie cutters. We, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it one of the reasons why I fell in love with Christian hip hop, because the diversity that we're talking about, when I began to study it, I saw it in the genre. I saw East Coast Christian hip hop was making East Coast Christian hip hop good jamming. I saw West Coast. I saw everything that I saw back in the day in secular hip hop. I see that right now in Christian hip hop. And I'm hoping that it stays that way because of what we stand in for. We stand in for truth. And the good thing about Christian hip hop is because being a Christian is about growing up. We are supposed to evolve. Our artists, our art is supposed to evolve. Our audience is supposed to watch us grow from being a baby Christian to being a mature Christian. And that should translate into our art. In the secular realm, it's all about the money at any time. So if money is what you're chasing after, you're going to chase after the sound of the moment. And it's going to be hard to make that decision whether or not I'm conforming or I'm being original. It's going to be hard. If you solely making this decision off of how am I going to get paid, guess what? We are sitting in the era of everybody chasing a dollar. And that's why all the music sound the same. That's why all the artists are conflicted and confused on what to do with. It's probably some frustrated guys doing the current art, wishing they could do something else. But because they feel like they can't get no paper, they don't do it.
Man, did you ever feel like you went through that?
Nah, I didn't have to. I never was that type of artist. Coming from Port Arthur, Texas, and being a hip-hopper, I understood that was rule number one. Originality, I mean, that's hip-hop rule number one. Originality. If you can't find a way to be original, sound like the next man, then you don't need to be making records.
Yeah.
That was a hip hop thing. Like yeah. I said, I grew up with hip hop from breakdancing to DJing. As a DJ, you had to have your own little flavor. You had to have your own little flavor if you want to be the DJ, whatever. So I learned those principles early on in my career. So I carried them over into making records. So the artists that I would sign, they had to have something unique about them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't really have that today, but I never went through that, and there's one of the reasons why you never saw DMD rapping on 50 million records.
Yeah,
no,
but yeah, you never saw DMD. Were a little bit, you know, few and far between. You know, mm-hmm. you said it earlier. You know, quality
over quantity.
Now, probably the biggest record that put out was what you just
25
said.
25 lighters.
25 lighters. Before we dive too much into 25 lighters,
okay.
Explain to me the title. I'm still confused. Did you literally have 25 individual lighters on your dresser?
I'll say for everybody listening, you could go to e5entertainment.com. There's some blogs and there's some articles on my website that explains the whole situation. Actually, last year I did a piece with Texas Monthly Magazine about the ZZ Top remake of it.
Oh, man, that was bananas.
Explain the whole thing. As a matter of fact, the writer of the article uncovered pieces about the phrase that I didn't even know.
So are you going to break it down for the Brad Gilmore show?
The actual phrase, 25 lighters, the phrase, it came from an 8-Ball MJG line. MJG said a line in one of his songs in an old record. Kiki grabbed it, put it on the screw tape, used it as kind of like a catchy line, you know, even singing it the way it ended up on the song. On the screw tape. I heard it on the screw tape. I thought it was cool. So when I started working with those guys to do a song called So Real in 1996, yeah. That was our first time working together. Anyway, I asked them to come into the studio to do a freestyle for the remix of So Real. And that's the one that really blew up for them. Anyway, they did, and they gave me a whole bunch of extra stuff. In the extra stuff, Kiki said the line, 25 lighters on my dresser. Yes, sir. Okay, this was 1996. All right, in 1997, 1998, I started working on the beat for 25 lighters. And I remember I had those vocals from Screwing Them. Now this is how I constructed the song. It was a demo idea. I wanted to do another song with the screwed up click. All right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to do a demo just to see how our voices would sound on the same track together, me, Kiki, and Fat Pat. So I found those verses, found that hook part from those So Real sessions. I transposed them to the tempo of the 25 lighter beat, and I put them on the beat, and then I wrote constructed a rap, and I did it as a demo to let Kiki and Pat hear to see, hey, man, we should do a song together, right? Pat died in the process, so I couldn't use Pat. But I liked his verse, and I'm like, well, I could keep his verse the way it is and just pay his estate for the verse. Kiki was supposed to do the song. He was supposed to write a fresh 16-bar verse. The day I go to the studio to record it, Kiki didn't show up. Come to find out, Kiki didn't want to be on the song.
Oh.
Now, this is the truth. So I already had the demo Kiki verse on the record. So I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to leave it like this, and I'm going to go ahead and mix the record to bed and do a rough mix of it. Let him hear what I hear, because my verse is down, Kiki's verse. I wanted him to hear how it all sounded together, and then maybe that he would be convinced to give me a fresh 16. So that night in the studio, it was a Thursday night, I did a rough mix of it, and I wanted to get an opinion. Like I was telling you about critiques, I wanted to get an opinion before I submitted it to Kiki and his management.
Yeah.
I went to 97.9 The Box. There was a DJ named Rashizi there. Mm-hmm. It was a real good friend of mine. I dropped it off to him. I said, dude, listen to this and tell me what you think. Is it good enough? Because I'm thinking about giving it to Kiki so he can see that this could be special. I knew the song could be special just by putting it together. But I wanted him to hear it because he hadn't heard it. I'm driving home. Me and my crew driving home from the radio station, literally. We dropped the CD off. We on our way back to our hotel where we were staying, and this song is on the radio. Literally.
Just left the station.
We driving home. It's not 30 minutes after we gave him the CD.
Wow.
And it's a demo mix. It ain't even the full mix.
Yeah.
What I really wanted. And it's on the radio. And before I know it, we get home. Before the shift in at 10 o'clock, they had played the record 4 times. Wow. Before the end of the night, that was the most requested song at that particular point that any song ever got on 97.9 The Box. The next morning, it was tossed in the rotation.
Jeez, man.
Literally, just like
just
that.
Just tossed.
Tossed in the rotation. It banged. My phone blew up. I wound up making demo dubs of the CD in the studio and passing them out to as many DJs I could that weekend. Monday morning, I walk into Southwest Wholesale, who was the independent distributor at the time. And Robert Gilliman literally said to me, Dorrit, whatever you want, let's finish this record. Let's put it on the market. I didn't even have a record finished. Kiki hadn't even heard the record outside of having to hear it on the radio.
Radio without.
But by that time, it's like we know we had a hit. So we just gonna. I left it alone. I never went back to finish mixing it. That was a rough mix. I wasn't finished with the song. But I wasn't going to touch it after that. So we just let it ride. And that's how I. So the song didn't mean really nothing to me. You know what I'm saying? I put songs together like a DJ, like a producer. I like stuff that sound good. So I just mixed some things to make it. That's an old Al B. Sure beat over old Southside type of beat. You know what I'm saying? And I rap like Screw, Feet, whatever. But the song took on a life of its own, and we just let people talk. And me, Chasing Money, I didn't care what you said about the record, long as you bought it.
Yeah.
Call it whatever you want. Just buy it. So a legend has gone on, but the original phrase meant, from what I heard, MJG wrote that because he was literally talking about 25 lighters to smoke a whole bunch of weed.
See, that's not what I heard.
What'd you hear, Peaches?
If you ever go back and listen to MJG's song,
I heard that the real meaning of that wasn't it.
Now, what I found out was people were using lighters to smuggle crack.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
That was in the ZZ Top story. And see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard that was like, that's how they would do the exchanges. Like when you were asking for that, instead of somebody handing you like a vial, you would give them money and they hand you a lighter. So you had 25 lighters on your dresser because you were getting ready to go make some money.
But see, I didn't know that at the time. All I knew was Kiki got it from MJG. And MJG's verse, in its context, he's talking about 25 lighters on the dresser to smoke a whole bunch of weed. But that just lets you know how language, English, whatever.
Okay,
slang.
I got a question. Because you brought up that you dropped down the 97.9 The Box and they played it that night. Now, you know,
back in the day.
Right. And then you already know where I'm about to go. So why do you think it's so hard?
Right now?
Yeah.
Because everything is political and money-driven. Ultimately, back then it was a little more free. Radio stations, personalities, DJs, they had a little more freedom with their playlist, with what they could do. They had more power. Now everything is run by corporate. Everything. Playlists, everything. DJ can't really do nothing without somebody above him telling, you know, a record can't get played without
approval.
Because somebody paying for something somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Unfortunately, that's how it is. And that's the result of everybody chasing money. Ultimately, you get what you're getting right now. Back in the day when it was a little more free fall and it was good, that's why we had so much different music, because it was a more free environment. It ain't like that no more. Everything is about the dollar, straight up. So we are experiencing the result of everything being about the dollar. And I'm here to tell people, it's only going to get worse. It don't get better. And the only way that we're going to change that mindset is we start getting people doing things outside the box that ain't so concerned about money. And that's where I see Christian hip hop is, because we don't do it for the money. We ain't doing it because of trying to get paid. We pray in to God that, you know, finances come, people like it enough to sow into it and buy it. But I'm free. I want to make good music, you know.
Yeah. Definitely. I want to dive into your Christian hip hop career, but I want to talk a little bit more about 25 Lighters.
All right.
Now, so you drop the song, starts blowing up, you get a hit record, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's listening to 25 Lighters. Everyone's hearing DJ DMD's voice, right? Over the airwaves. What was like the craziest thing that was brought about to you, you know, from that record? You know what I'm saying? What's the craziest thing that happened from that record to you?
I mean, are we talking about crazy experiences or crazy
let's
anything? The
let's
biggest thing, I mean, you ever had a $500,000 check in your hand?
I haven't at this point.
The craziest thing was me sitting in New York in an office with one of the biggest record company executives at the time, and me sitting there negotiating my contract with that person. I mean, a little dude out of Port Arthur, Texas, started off playing drums at 9, DJing, fell in love with hip hop. For me sitting in a New York office, 75 Rockefeller Plaza, 14th, 15th floor, sitting in front of one of the biggest record execs, that was like a dream come true, man. It don't get no better. Walking away with $500,000. Doc, it don't get no better than that. That was like, you know,
I would walk out of that office feeling pretty good.
That was pretty good, man. And now on the wild side, because of the success, you know, I mean, let me just say it like this. I have done it all. You can imagine. That's one of the things I do on the motivational speaking circuit when I talk to cats, especially youngsters, is that if you can imagine a rock star's life. You know, we all got an image of what rock stars go through. You know, we see it on TV sometimes. Just at the level of success that I had, everything was thrown on the table for me. Everything. And like a dummy, not knowing, I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. So you name it, me and my crew experienced it pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of the downsides of not being prepared for success to that degree, because it wound up ruining my home, ruining my family, ruining my life, almost killed me. I watched people. I mean, that's part of what I'm doing now. People like Pat, people like Screw, people like Pimp C, people like Mo. Them boys, they didn't die. That was a result of getting caught up in the life.
Yeah.
You know? When you drink to your insides rot, you know, that's real deal. That's real talk. And so I've experienced all the highs, the lows, going home to my hometown, always wanting to represent Port Arthur, Texas, and to be able to build a $200,000 facility, state-of-the-art recording facility, right in the middle of the hood. That was a blessing to me. That was huge to me to be able to do that, to be able to employ 10, 15 cats from the hood that was selling dope and keep them off the streets for a while. That was good. That was big to me, you know.
Now, so let me ask you this. So you had 25 Lighters. It was a hit song, right? Mm-hmm. It was a hit. It was your first, obviously, you
My
know,
biggest
your,
record.
Your biggest record. Now, a lot of people have hit songs. Yeah, I'm not saying a lot of people, you know, select few, but there are a lot of songs out there that are considered hit records, right? Mm-hmm. Billboard Hot 100, whatever, hit records, top 10. But 25 Lighters isn't just a hit record in its time. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. People still to this day, every day, discover that song.
Crazy, huh?
Yeah. And it has like this huge significance within hip hop.
Yeah.
And now transcending outside of hip hop. Like, I don't think there's a major artist out here now who at some point in their
recording a career have not have referenced the song.
It's been amazing to me.
Kendrick Lamar, most recently.
That blew me away to hear that reference.
Yeah.
Mac Miller. I mean, I blew me away. I mean, to be a part of that, that's part of my past that I can say I'm proud to have been a part of something that historic in hip-hop. You know, that because I'm a hip-hopper, and that's a special moment.
One of the most classic hip-hop records of maybe all time.
That blew me away. I think I tweeted the other day that hipinstrumentals.com called it one of the best instrumentals. It had his Thursday throwback pick of the week, called it one of the best instrumentals ever, whatever, da da da. And like I just told you, the track wasn't even finished. It was a demo beat.
Demo.
You know? But that's just how hip hop is. That's how the vibe, the spirit of hip hop is supposed to be. It's not like that anymore. And it's supposed to be spontaneous and stuff. So when ZZ Top, can you imagine me getting a call on my way to work? Because I work at Texas Instruments, been working there for 10 years since I came to Houston. And excuse me. Last February, when my phone rang on my way to work, and ZZ Top's management called me and tell me they've been looking for me for 5 months. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, yeah, ZZ Top, they did your song over. And I'm like, come on, man, this is a joke, dude.
Yeah. I'm sure you thought it was a joke. I'm sure you thought
it was 25
completely...
Lighters is adored by a lot of people. It's the 420 anthem every year or whatever. But ZZ Top, dude, nah. And the dude said, yeah. I said, play the record. The manager played the record on the way, and I'm like, that's my words. Now, it's their track, but he took my song, my words, and the hook, da-da-da, and put it over there. And I was just like, wow. That song got remade by some Hall of Fame rock and rollers.
Yeah. One of the most legendary rock groups of all time.
I mean, it couldn't get... I'm just like, that was just like the staples. That was a special record. That just wasn't no regular record, man. And, that was great. To be a part of something like that, man, in that regard, because it's so special to hip hop, I'm happy. Because of what it represented, is what the rest of my life is going to be about. I want to change it because that song was all about enticing people to party hard, chase money.
Yeah,
straight up. Ultimately, that song was about partying hard and chasing money, and that ain't what I'm about no more. You know, I'm about trying to get people to grow up, party a little bit, learn how to moderate, have your fun. Learn how to moderate, and definitely don't not put money over everything. That's all.
No, now you brought up Mac Miller, mm-hmm. and I was listening to another radio show out in Hot 97 in New York.
I was there,
huh?
I decided Funkmaster Flex interviewed me there on 25 Lighters heyday in New York. I still got the business card.
And their morning show was on. They're interviewing Mac Miller. And he was actually talking about a legal issue he was going on with Lord Finesse.
Okay.
He used a beat of his or whatever, and was getting sued for $5 million is what I heard.
Easy.
And then he said he brought up your name.
Okay.
He said this is what he said. He said you attempted to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So walk me through that. What happened? Well, I don't know the specifics.
What happened was because I don't really watch. I hadn't watched secular television or radio for years. And someone sent me a tweet that Mac Miller was on an MTV Jams channel performing a song. He had made a song using my beat. And after I researched it, I found out, and I forgot the name of the song. It escapes me now. But it was on a free mixtape that he gave. And that's what we eventually found out. And the reason why I was threatening to sue, because I found some uploaded accounts where someone was actually selling the mixtape, you know. So I don't know if he was telling me the truth or not or whatever. I ultimately just decided, you know what, for the sake of hip-hop, I'm not even going to pursue this, because I could have pursued it and said these accounts that I found led up to somebody in your camp getting paid off of my song, and I could have, you know, pursued it like that. But I decided, you know, it ain't even worth it. I mean, it's not worth it. I'm going to take Mac at his word. As crazy as that may sound from a business sense, I'm going to take Mac at his word. Sound like, because we had a conversation by way of Twitter, and he sounded like he had a good heart. He was a hip-hopper.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I didn't want, hip-hoppers don't sue hip-hoppers. That's what the Lord Finesse thing was all about, you know?
See,
I didn't feel that. I
got confused by that because, you know, I mean, to me, Lord Finesse, and I don't know the specifics of it, But Laura Finesse suing Mac Miller for freestyling over instrumental. To me, that if he, I don't know, did he win? Do you know? Is it over?
That's like I think the case would probably get tossed out because it was on one of those free mixtapes.
Yeah,
you know, and
but if he wins, you know what that would do for hip hop?
That would open up some crazy doors, man.
It would change.
It would, yes, sir.
The entire
world. One of the lines, part of hip hop is as a producer and a DJ, whatever. If somebody borrows your beat and raps over, that's like a compliment. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all dig what I'm doing. So I never really tripped. You know, if cats were doing it for demos or freestyle sessions or whatever. But when cats would take it, especially a cat of Mac Miller's magnitude,
yeah,
and take it and put it on an album and make money off of it and not take care of business, that's when I got a problem.
You know?
But the Laura Finesse situation, from my understanding, it was like mine. It was just a free mixtape that he rapped over.
Yeah.
So I don't know whatever happened. I decided to just leave it alone, and hopefully that act of grace may turn into something in me and Mac's future.
So y'all are good now. Everything's squared up. Okay.
Good. I ain't tripping.
Yeah, yeah. Because I definitely think the Laura Finesse thing's really weird to me. Like I just didn't understand it. Now I didn't know that their account selling your music. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah. If you put an album out. I mean, especially like I said, to an artist of his stature, should have legal team, legal people that take care of that kind of stuff. You don't put a cat of that caliber, you know, in jeopardy like that. So that's what I was after.
Yeah.
Mac, you selling? You got 2 million fans. You selling? You got that? Dude, don't just take my record and don't come give me nothing. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know. So
I understand. And isn't it crazy? Also, he's an independent artist.
I mean, crazy
that he's that. However,
we were just talking about it. That's one of the. It can be done, bro, but it takes a lot of grinding in a different kind of way than it did back in the day. So, but Mac really does have talent. To me, I think Mac is dope.
Yeah, no, I think Mac.
I think Mac is dope.
What do you think, Peaches?
I like Mac Miller. I do.
He way out there. You know,
I wouldn't let my kids listen to him. He has is the "You Can Wear My Hat" song, but I like him.
And I like because he, from a hip hop perspective, he's him.
Yeah, and you can tell he's not.
That's
trying to
hip-hop.
Be anything else. Yeah,
that's hip hop. He him. He does him. He ain't trying to be like Eminem or nobody else. Da da da. He is him, and that's what hip hop is about. That's why I said true cream will always rise to the top in any era, no matter what. If Mac just got grind to go along with that talent, you know. So it takes both. Y'all ever heard the phrase? It's 90% business.
Yeah,
10% talent. That is exactly the case. It's 90% business, 10% talent. So Mac got his business together. That's why, coupled with his talent, he's succeeding. So.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick music break here on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand, and we'll be right back to talk about 25 Bibles on a dresser, which is a lot of Bibles.
A lot of Bibles.
You're all good. We'll be back on the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand.
What's up, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all checking out my main man, DJ Motai, right here, live and in the mix.
Let's have some fun. Let's have some fun.
Love it, man.
G's in PA, G's in the city, G's in the South, so real. We're going back to the future, y'all. Check it, check it. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir. Loving the word of God like a Bible professor. Not just for sight, like a Bible collector. Eating the lamb up like I'm Hannibal Lecter. Jeremiah 5:25 made me change. Psalms 25 got it tatted on my brain. Took a song I sang and made it a new thing. Gave my life to Christ and he gave me a new name. DMD, I'm back with 25 flows. Waited upon the Lord to open 25 doors. 25 ways to praise him, choose one. He came about the grave to save and lose none. He gave me my life back and my wife back. Two kids, two cars, a crib. 30 is to 20, like 40 to 25. I'ma point you to the word, cause the word's alive. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir. Gots to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir. Gots to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir. Gots to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir.
say this. 3 16s, about 25 Bibles, will get us like a billion, 25 rivals. Mad cause we just smashed 25 idols and baptized the classic 25 lighters. Young flying saved with a passion for Christ, smashing and not flashing the fashion and ice. If you bring cash in, it can add to my life, but just know that my soul's not attached to a price. Bought by the Son of Man on the cross where they hung him lost running, but he's still offered his loving hand. And I ain't trying to toss nothing underhand, but let's stop talking and walk like we understand. We used to go hard with the sin, why not go hard for your God to repent? I put on and I don't care who the gospel offends. I am with the Lord, so I'm going all the way in.
I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, I got to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, got to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, got to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, got to get saved.
Love it, man.
Represent PA, trying to point you to the good book, trying to tell the hoods in the hood it's a good look. Let the word guide me, gave me my swagger, used to use it like a sword, now it's more like a dagger. Jesus said try me, don't you deny me, get the word inside me, use it like an ivy. Just like my bishop man gave me a vision, man, took me from a fool to a sold out fisherman, made me a soldier, fight for Jehovah. No, this ain't Trick or JC, thought I told you, he's my provider. Let the word shield me, protects me from hating words sent to kill me. But they won't stop me, cause the Lord got me. Tell me that I can't tell a hater back, watch me. Watch me turn heads, cause the word got me shining. Matthew 25, 25 got me grinding. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, gots to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, gots to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, gots to get saved. I got 25 Bibles on my dresser, yes sir, gots to get saved.
Love it, man.
That's how we do it. DMB, Young Bizzle, King Jesus, Third Coast. G's in PA, G's in the city, G's in the South, so real. G's in PA, G's in the city, G's in the South, so real. This is for the hustler, 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 hustler. Call me Mr. 25E, 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. Got my grind, don't play or don't eat. Call me Mr. 25E, 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. Got my grind, don't play or don't hate. I'm DMD and I'm a hustler, 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, all work, no play. First one on the scene, the last to leave. And if it's money on the block, y'all best believe that I'm right up in the mix, always on my grind. I got to stack chips if I'm ever gon' shine and blind these haters with some diamond rings. A player grinding, trying to have the finer things. Plush SUVs, forget the grain, I want oak. Be the first man to buy my mama a mink coat and a pink boat, so she could sell the seven C's. Come down so hard the laws think I move keys, but I slang raps like a dealer slang crack. A being in the bank is what I aim at. I got a name that'll fit me, describe me to the T. From now on y'all could call me, call me Mr. 25E, 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. Got my grind, don't play or don't hate. Call me Mr. 25E, 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. Got my grind, don't play, don't hate.
What they talking about? People look at me like I'm a hustler, baller, some kind of actor. Now I'm just these skills, the neighborhood rapper. Grind like a D-boy, mind of a scholar. Kids gotta eat, so I'm always taking dollars. Honestly, I really think it's time to see how younger generations step up, tell them follow me. Like I'm on Twitter, no hold up, dog, I really am. Hopefully
official D skills. I'm hashtag winning, man. Mama, I did it. Remember when you told me I shouldn't spit it if I couldn't stand behind it? Oh, I didn't live in it, Pop. I remember the cosign. Don't worry about what others do. Keep spitting your rhymes. One day you gon' shine. Okay, it's go time. Not just for me, but anybody with a dream. If you want it, you gotta go grind. I appreciate all the things that you showed me. Cause from now on, they gon' surely call me Mr.
25. 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. I'm a grind, don't play, don't eat. Call me Mr. 25. 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. I'm a grind, don't play, don't hate.
That's right. This one here going out to everybody out there putting it down. Making sure you take care of your business. So it don't matter if you a lawyer, doctor, nurse, janitor, athlete, or an MC like myself. If you grinding, here's your new name.
Now you can find me in the studio daily, wide open like a brand new baby. I'm on a mission for the fancy cars, bank account, hold up. Boppers in my way, tell them quick, hold up. Put the work down, come up and come clean. Put my babies in the Jag when they turn 16, and I mean that. I want a billion to change,
for real.
Y'all remember the name. Call me Mr. 25E. 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. I'm a grind, don't play, don't hate. Call me Mr. 25E. 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. I'm a grind, don't play, don't hate. Call me Mr. 25E. 25 hours, 8 days straight. Gotta hustle like I'm moving big weight. I'm a grind, don't play, don't hate. Call me Mr. 25E.
Welcome back to the Brad Gilmore Show.
No.
I want you to say on demand.
I'm not.
God.
Because y'all got me the last time, and I said it anyway. And I listened to that three
very
times.
Little of you, Peaches. All right.
What?
I ask very little. I don't ask you any questions ever.
You don't what?
I never ask you for any questions.
What?
I don't ask you any favors.
You might not ever ask me any favors, but you sure as all get out ask me questions.
I'm a question.
I just want to point out that you and I have done very well not cursing today.
Have we not?
We have done fantastic.
And you know what? I wouldn't have even thought that you had potty mouths.
What? Potty.
Like sometimes it gets real. Sometimes it gets real, DMD.
It's real.
sometimes they just don't understand.
It's just all kind of flagrant, colorful words that get thrown.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with adding a little color to the mix. You know what I'm saying?
But you know what? I'm glad they have been extremely respectful listeners. So please give them an extra a shout out today or whenever y'all hear this broadcast.
It'll be on Monday.
It'll be Monday. Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
Make sure y'all shoot them some love.
They're listening to it today.
Today.
Because we don't pre-record. We don't limp sync our songs. What are you saying?
This is live radio.
This is live.
Did you see the Billboard Awards?
Of course I did. You know I don't watch TV. I heard it was bad, though. I watch Twitter. So somebody sent me the Vine of Miguel falling. I watched people complain for like 10 minutes about Chris Brown singing, so I'm assuming that it was bad.
The Miguel leg drop was classic.
Yeah, that.
Did you see that DMV?
That was funny. Yeah. I also...
Hulk Hogan even tweeted about it.
That was painful to watch.
Hulk Hogan tweeted Miguelomania is running wild.
He did. That's awesome.
What you gonna do, brother?
Wait, can somebody let me know? Was that a planned jump?
No. He said
he tried to clear the pit.
No, he said like he like yeah okay. So here was like the stage, and then like there was a pit in the middle.
He just
of people.
Got caught up in a moment.
He said that's what he said. He's like, I got caught up in the moment. I thought I could make it, so he jumped, leg dropped the girl,
but
and then
finished
singing.
But it was
like
singing. It was almost like a James Brown leg split gone wrong.
I mean that was. I mean I couldn't watch it, but maybe three times before I. Just
it looked yeah. It looked like it hurt.
Oh man.
It looked like it hurt. Yeah. You know I do ring announcing for professional wrestling.
For what, Brad?
Professional wrestling.
One more time.
Professional wrestling.
When alliteration goes wrong.
What you gonna?
No. Okay. Anyway, I do a little. Whatever. I do ring announcing for professional wrestling,
yes,
and I
you
see
do.
It live, and then it doesn't make me cringe, but the Miguel moment made me cringe. That's what I was trying to say, Peaches.
You mad because
you
couldn't get it out?
You had to call out the out on
because
me.
You,
and then
you,
I, no,
you messed
no.
up like three times, and then you did it again, so I just couldn't let
oh,
you make
Peaches,
it.
Peaches, I need you to be quiet, yo.
Remember?
Iron sharpens iron. I like
that could actually went on for a while. Me and you would have been just sitting here watching.
What you trying to say? I took up for you earlier when he was in here talking about you.
I wasn't talking about him.
I told you that.
I wasn't talking about you.
He talked about you in the car.
What did I say in the car? I wasn't talking about you. Why am I the bad guy all of a sudden?
Let me tell you, we went to Taco Bell. He almost left Taco Bell without my food.
I almost did that. I was in a rush. That's not
why
bad.
I believe you.
But he didn't.
But I didn't. Thank
only
you.
Because I had to stop him.
He stopped.
I did stop.
He better have got my food.
Wow.
She would have hit me.
I would have hit
this
him.
This has been amazing, man.
It's abusive. She's abusive. What I wanted to say, though.
I only hit him when he does things in
public.
She
threw her cell phone at me before you walked in here.
Okay, you know how sometimes some things are involuntary reactions. Like, you don't really think about them. Like, when you pick up something, you assume that your hand's going to close around it. When I picked up the phone and I went to make a movement, my hand didn't close and the phone flew.
Flew at me.
It hit the table. Like, it was not at him. He's over-exaggerating because he wants sympathy.
Oh, you didn't throw a battery at me?
I did throw a battery at you because you were mocking me like a three-year-old.
A 9-volt.
Why it gets real in here, huh?
I told you it gets real sometimes.
Wow.
Sometimes you just got to pull. What I was going to say is, like, Kid Rock came out, and I think he slammed Justin Bieber for lip-syncing at the Billboard.
Yeah, he did.
I thought that was interesting.
Wow.
And then somebody asked, like, Taylor Swift after the award show what they thought about him winning whatever he won, and she didn't want to comment.
Oh, she said, next question, please.
I don't know what happened.
I found it interesting.
I just don't understand how all those people are there and they're always at the same events together, but they have an attitude about something.
Hey,
I don't get
that's
it.
That's why Kanye stopped going to award shows. He didn't need
Kanye
to go there anymore.
Kanye stopped going to award shows because he's a child.
Actually,
he can't hold his temper.
He is. I mean, the thing he did with Taylor Swift.
He has temper.
He's stupid.
That wasn't an adult thing to do.
Stupid.
It was rude. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah, immaturity is contagious.
They're right there.
I know they're like right there. I don't think it's not going to come through. But
here at
listeners,
studios,
here we
the walls are thin.
But that Miguel thing, man, that was crazy, man. So
yeah.
I wanted to know. He did apologize to the lady.
Yeah,
he
via apologized. Twitter.
Did he like drop kicked her?
No,
he landed on her.
It was like
here's her head. He
just like that.
And there was somebody else behind him. She just smooth fell. Like nobody paid her any attention.
And then when he went to go hug her to say I'm sorry, a fan next to her shoved her out of the way and took his hug.
Wow.
Wow.
And that is the code. That is the world we live in.
Oh man. But you know,
that is the world we live in.
Last Saturday night, I got home late. I turned on the television set, and
who says it anymore?
I do.
Television set.
What do you say? Do you say television set or you say TV?
I say TV, man.
But whatever. I don't turn my TV on. Rarely do I ever.
Okay. Anyway, and I happened to catch Saturday Night Live with Ben Affleck was the host,
and
the musical guest was Mr. Kanye West.
Yeah, I saw.
I felt a certain kind of way about the performance. I did.
I haven't heard the song.
He did two of them. The songs were called New Slaves.
I haven't heard that.
I saw that one.
And the other one was called Black Skinhead.
See, I'm not here for that. I'm not here for that for a multitude of reasons. I don't want anything to do with it.
I mean, that's Kanye. That's like the number
and
one
you know,
dude in the world.
And that's fine.
What's
but
up?
I have a problem with people that are in positions of influence that influence without direction. Because if you're going to put something like that out, then I feel like it needs to be expounded upon instead of speculated about. Because you're going to let people sit up here and think about what you mean and come up with conclusions. And people are very hell-bent now. Like, their opinion, they think, is a fact.
Oh,
and
so what you're saying is you would like for him to explain the songs.
For me to listen to it, because off the top, I'm not going to.
Off the titles alone?
No, because I have a problem with the way that blacks take slavery and how they portray it. Mm. Like, and how they use it as a crutch still. I have a huge problem with that, so I'm not here for it.
But I saw the New Slaves performance.
Yeah, didn't you tweeted about it? Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
Your tweet?
I just said, "Wow, lowercase intentional." That blew me away, man. I couldn't believe that was on Saturday Night Live. I'm just like, is that
privilege?
Where we going? Is that where we taking the culture? I mean, he's saying some crazy stuff in that song. And I heard New Slaves.
And my thing is, like, is he getting away with it, though? Because
it's on national prime time TV.
Right, but they knew what it was before it got there. So
why is that okay?
Why is he getting away with it?
Let's answer that question. Let's and answer that question.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe because I'm not someone who likes people just because everybody else does.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm a Kanye fan.
Well, don't get me wrong. I like old Kanye. Like, I was a fan of The Graduation, and we know how I am about my music. I rarely like things in whole. Mm-hmm. So I was a fan of, you know, The Graduation. I was a fan of old Kanye. They used to rap over people's beats. Like,
yeah.
Throw Some D's. His remix is one of my favorites
that he's ever done.
Remix
was nice.
But at the same time, I'm all for expressing artistry and creating an own lane. I'm not here for extremism. And the fact that you have, because he's in a position of influence, and he's influencing people that don't, he don't even know they exist. He don't know their age. Like, your reach is beyond what you can fathom. And what are you putting out there? And you're not explaining it. And I have a problem with it. Like, Kanye don't want to meet me.
I don't even know how you can explain what he did, what those songs.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you have a song called Black Skinhead, I, off the title, if it's not how in my mind I'm thinking it's going to be, and this might be biased of me, and you can comment on it however you want to. I'm entitled to however I feel.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't want anything to do with it. Because if you think of what skinheads were and how they were, and if you think about the struggles that blacks went through, or that Nazis went through, or that, you know, concentration camps, I'm not here for it because it's not okay. I think that, like he said, social networking has diminished a lot of feelings with people. We don't feel how we used to.
Right.
We don't. Things don't impact us how they should. You can tweet, like, for instance, with the tornadoes in Oklahoma. You can tweet, pray for Oklahoma. But did you actually take the time out to be like, hey, God, can you handle that for me? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, like, you're saying, did you actually pray?
Did you actually take the time to speak that into a manifestation rather than just tweeting it? Like, you tweeted your mother. You probably tweeted your mom Happy Mother's Day before you called her.
Yeah,
you probably put up an Instagram post. She don't have that. Now, if your mom has that and you tagged her, that's different. She doesn't have that. So why can't you call first?
And then, because
now you're doing it just to put it out there. But what's the point of putting it out there if you haven't completed the actual action?
Speak.
Oh, no, that's just me. You're going to have me. I'm ranting.
Church. No, okay. But to me, this is what I felt about going back to the Kanye thing. I mean, I heard the name of his album.
Jesus, like,
before I heard songs,
he gets on my nerves.
He named his album Jesus. Obviously,
this
you
is
know,
recording.
like Jesus.
Wow, I'm really serious. Yeah. Like, but Kid Fury,
I took that a certain
somebody,
kind of way.
Somebody on Twitter made a good point.
I mean,
y'all know I watch Twitter because I don't watch TV, but they said that
second time she said that this interview.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever. But, you know, people that stand Beyonce call her basis, or, you know, they make a reference to it. That's
or
what
TV.
Someone who is an ultimate fan of you calls you. You calling yourself that.
That's different. Yeah.
It's one of those situations
where
that play crazy, not crazy.
Is it narcissistic?
And he's playing crazy.
Is it narcissistic of him?
Kanye know what he's doing. He making his money.
I mean, I believe it is. I mean, well,
that's your ego versus your ego.
All I have to go by is the standard of the word of God, and that is pride and arrogance to an umpteenth degree. And I hate that it's number one a hip hopper, number two somebody who is packing that much influence.
I mean, they named, like, 2 or 3 years ago, he was named the most
influential
person.
But I mean, you have a song called, you know, he was on something and he said that when he first tried to shop Jesus Walks, they didn't want it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
They didn't want it.
They said you could rap about anything except for Jesus.
Right. So, and I'm not saying that people aren't allowed to express themselves, because you were in the ultimate way of expressing yourself.
Well, you won a Grammy for that too,
remember? Yeah, you won a Grammy for Jesus Walks.
Right. Maybe, I don't know. I'm going to have to break down and listen to the song.
With the name of Jesus right now?
It's
a little much.
Yeah, I mean, no, what it demonstrates is what happens with a life that's, man,
too much to handle.
What a life that's apart from a true, sincere walk with the Lord. He played with that name Jesus, and I even have heard that Kanye is a profession Christian, and I don't know how true that is. I've never heard him. I've heard people say that
he professes
to be a Christian.
I wouldn't doubt
when
that.
When I listen to his art, I mean, I can see the flow, and it's gone to a point where it's almost anti-Christian, and it's kind of one of the.
But do you think that you can, like, I wouldn't say that. And I don't think it's fair to say that.
I wouldn't say anti-Christian.
I wouldn't say anti-Christian.
I wouldn't go that far.
The
but,
only reason
but,
why people won't say that, and well, if you.
Well,
go ahead.
I guess it would depend on your core values, I guess, and how you would believe about religion and Christianity, so I'm gonna feel differently. And I'm not saying that I'm not a Christian, but I just, like, I'm more of a spiritual person than I am a religious person. So those are my own beliefs.
I mean, I was brought up in the church, you know, South Baptist Church.
I mean, as was
church,
I.
You know what I'm talking about?
But,
and I mean, sometimes I feel he'll say something, you know, and he'll say something that sometimes will make me, bothers me as a Christian. And sometimes he'll say something that bothers me as a Caucasian male.
Wow.
You know, when I hear new slaves, it makes me uncomfortable already, just the title.
Imagine.
Black
imagine.
Skinhead makes me and I saw someone, a local DJ, tweet out something about will Yeezus bring an end to racism? And I was like,
racism exists because of situations like that.
Yeah, that doesn't, to me, that doesn't help
it
ease the tensions.
It, you know what I'm saying?
It kind of makes it tense.
It makes it worse.
Think about it. You have a
and
song
I haven't
title.
Heard the song.
Neither have I.
You
and I honestly don't want to. Like,
you
I
heard
don't
Black Skinhead.
I heard them both. Black Skinhead, I couldn't understand what he was saying because it was noise. Literally, his voice was distorted on live television. Like,
I mean, even sonically.
Intentionally.
Nah, right. Even sonically, when I saw the new Slaves, the new Slaves performance, he's on some other stuff creatively.
Yeah.
I was just like, man, I'm like, dude, that's a song? That's like,
right?
That's a song? I mean, wow. So I don't know. Kanye is in another place, man. And I don't know if it's a
happy.
Good place.
I don't think he's happy.
I'm going to say this.
I think it's a good place.
I don't think he's happy.
So
I don't think he's happy. I don't think that the situation that he's in currently is what he wanted to be, even though he fought so hard for it. That whole thing, the positioning that he's in, I mean, you work so hard to be in the pocket. Now you're in the pocket, and you not have what you thought you would have at, you know, in that pocket. Like, he fought hard to get to that pocket.
Yeah. You mean that place in...
Yeah,
what does
it
profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? I mean, it's the reason why chasing money, chasing fame, chasing all of that stuff never works, because it doesn't fulfill. And maybe he's at the point where he's attained, just like you said. And he realizing something still ain't right. Something ain't right. And that's why a sincere relationship with Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is important. That's why I'm doing what I do. That's why Bizzle does what he does. That's why Lecrae does what he does.
So when did you?
Lecrae's one of my favorite artists.
To the man. Praise God.
The first song I heard by him was, do you know the song Represent? It was like Represent, get crunk. It's like an old record, but
you gotta
I always
go back further than that. He had a song called "Pray for Me" that changed my life, man. Changed my life.
So what made you? Oh, you were about to say something.
Yeah, probably the same question. At what point or when did you decide to, you know, switch from the regular hip hop industry and to put that down and then to go into Christian rap?
Actually, in 2002, my life was so bad. I had divorced my wife, so we had been divorced for going on 2 years. I was at a place similar, I mean, in a small, microscopic kind of way where Kanye is. And I had money and fame a little bit, to a degree or whatever. But, I mean, I was partying all day. I was doing all this. And all of a sudden, making music, everything that I had thought I had worked for wasn't fun no more. It was like, man, it was empty. Then I had lost and disappointed so many people. 2002, I realized I had to make a change. And I didn't know what was leading me to make that. I didn't know at the time. All I knew was, dude, if I keep smoking weed, if I keep drinking drink, if I keep doing this the way I'm 6 months from now, I'm not going to be alive. I saw, it's like a light bulb started going off in my head. I saw Pimp C. He was in jail at the time. I can't act like I didn't see Screw just drink himself to death. I can't act like that. And I'm going in the same direction. You know what I mean? So I had a small light bulb moment. And September 2002, I said, you know what? I don't know what I'm finna do, but I'm finna leave. I don't know what I'm finna do. I'm finna leave Port Arthur. I gotta leave. So I literally walked away from everything. I left money in the bank. I left everything. Left my crew with everything, dude. If y'all gonna keep, y'all don't wanna change, I actually put them up. I said, dude, if we don't figure out how to do records and change our way we live, at least change how we, if we don't get back to just loving music again, then I don't want to be a part of this, you know, because this ain't what we worked hard for. We ain't worked hard to get hit. We ain't worked hard to act crazy in the studio every day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We not every day.
A couple days a week.
Not every day, but it was like every
only
day.
On Tuesdays.
I was going through, at the time, I was going through a fifth of Hennessy every day by myself. Oh, two packs of Newports. I was weed, ecstasy pills. I mean, we was just wilding out. And I'm just like, dude, this ain't why I made music.
Yeah.
This ain't the same. So 2002, I said, you know what, guys, y'all want to change? And my guys didn't want to change. So I said, see ya. And I moved to Dallas. 3 weeks later, I got a call to come to Houston. Somebody wanted me to run their label out here. I don't know how he got my name. And I just came out here. He gave me a whole bunch of money, set me up. And I started living in Houston, separated from my crew. And I just started working out here. But me and my wife had begun communicating again because of my kids. And because I got two girls with her. We got two girls together. And I noticed the change in her. And what I didn't know was that 6 months prior, she had rededicated her life to Jesus. She had been a Christian. She got saved, gave her life to the Lord years ago as a teenager, but fooling around with me. I just had her walk all over the place. I had her just, you know what I'm saying. And anyway, when I saw her get committed and I saw her take a stand in some areas, and I'm just like, man, whatever it is that you that's allowing you to do it, I want that. So February 2003, I asked, can we get back together? Because whatever you got, that's kind of what I've been looking for. That's all I knew. I didn't know nothing else. Whatever you got, I want. So she gave me a chance, and I mean, it was a big chance because I could have been playing in her eyes, but she must have sensed that I was sincere. And 2 months after that, after going to church, and finally, for the first time in my whole life, really getting somebody to sit me down and tell me about the gospel and what it's about. And I never have. I stopped going to church when I was like 11, 12 years old. And I never had, I ran around with religious people, Jews, Muslims. I had all them people in my camp. Talked to them, you know, intimately. But none of the stuff that they said, I even studied New Age myself. None of that stuff ever stuck with me. It never, nothing. It always came, it ended up with me thinking that I was in control. And it always led me to a bad place. It led me to 2002. And in 2003, after hearing the gospel for myself preached and me having to ask myself, like we talking about a dude who prayed on my records. If you go back and listen to 22, the very first, the intro is a conversation I'm having with God on the mic in the studio, acting like I know God. I used to pray before, since 1996 when I started performing, I pray before every show I ever did. I'll be behind the stage or be on stage and pray, say a prayer. Didn't know who I was praying to, but I was playing because you know what? People like Christians. They ain't going to boo a Christian. And I played that up. Straight up. Never got booed. God was looking out for me then. I didn't even know it. But I was playing.
You ain't even know it.
I ain't even know it. But I was playing. You know what I'm saying? I was playing the whole time. But in 2003, after seeing my wife get serious, I decided to get serious, and I had to ask myself, I've been playing all this time. I don't know Jesus. I don't know. And then that April 18, 2003, a Good Friday, southwest side of Houston, I remember like the back of my hand. I got real with that question. I'm going to learn for myself what it means to follow Christ. I ain't worried about no preacher. I ain't worried about no denomination. Heavenly Father, if Jesus is real, teach me what that is. The next day, he led me to a 99-cent store. I bought my first paperback Bible. I still got to this day. I never throw it away. And I started reading that book for myself. And I found Jesus Christ in them words.
Man.
And I just began, and from that moment on, I said, you know what? I ain't caring about music. I think I found something that's going to teach me how to be a man. It's going to teach me how to be a good husband, a decent husband. And I just rolled with that. So I gave up music, threw all my records away, gave all my CDs, secular stuff. And that was hard. You know, we talking about thousands, and I've been a DJ pretty much all my life.
Yeah.
All my records. I just got one little small crate of records that I got in my garage that just got real sentimental value to me. But all my secular music, I threw away. I got that away from me. And giving up hip hop was probably the hardest thing for me to do. Because
it was a sacrifice.
Yeah. And I just like, but Lord, if you want me to do hip hop again, you'll let me know somewhere in the future. For right now, I'm show me. I just want to know about you.
So did you even listen to hip hop or anything for those years?
For about 2 years, I couldn't listen to no secular music. Especially, let's say, the first 6 months of my walk when I started digesting the word of God and it started showing me my sinful nature. And I realized all the dirt that I had done all my years and really start really convicting you. Say, dude, you had something to do with that. You had something to do with that. You know how many women you paid for abortions while you was married? You know what I'm saying? When you really look at what you did, I felt horrible, man. And that led me, when I would hit the radio and I hear somebody making fun of the stuff that I used to do that I know was dead wrong, man, that cut you up inside. Yeah. And to hear somebody making fun of it, so I just say, you know what? I can't watch TV. I can't watch because I'm feeling horrible about. And that's what the word of God ultimately do. It's called conviction. And it convicted me inside. So I got away from all that. And I just learned to soak up the word of God. Study it like a science book. Let that book tell me about me. Saw some good things about me. And saw some very, very bad things about myself. And just began to let it show me how to live. And got to trust in it more and more. God says, thou shalt do this, then you do that. And thou shalt not do that, then you learn how not to do that. And that was a struggle, man. For about 3 years, I couldn't listen to no. My 97.9 was deprogrammed out of all my radios. I couldn't listen to that. I couldn't listen to my own music for about 3-4 years. Because my last album is called 30. My last full length studio album was called 33. And in that record, I talked about my wife so bad. And we were divorced at the time. So my head was in a bad place and I was in drugs. I was in everything. So I had all kind of hidden references to just my anger at her. And I divorced her. You know, that's how foolish you can when you living out there like that. I'm acting crazy. I'm messing over money. I'm messing up our marriage. I'm doing this. And then I stand in divorce court by myself. She didn't even show up for divorce court. She didn't want to get a divorce. But I was so lost. I said, I don't want to be married to you no more. I just wanted to do my thing. Can't nobody tell me what to do. So I stood in divorce court in Beaumont, Texas, Jefferson County Courthouse, and I got a divorce from her. And that woman took me back.
She let you divorce her because she knew you was going to be back. That's why she didn't show up.
Amazing. Amazing. And I'm just like, wow. So I just my family is my life now. And for 7 years, I just like, you know what? I'm just going to get into the word. So I learned how to be a good, faithful church member, how to be a real active servant in the ministry that God placed me under. I learned how to study the word of God like a professor. I learned how to let that word teach me how to have a biblical worldview. I learned a process. It let me teach how to relate to people. And during the process, 2010, some real hard storms hit my family, and it tested my faith. But it was in those things that I had to realize, am I really going to live this thing out? There were some people I had to forgive that I didn't want to forgive. But he says forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. So I did that. That was a rough year for me. And in the middle of that year, I got the idea to start E5 Entertainment. And it was just like, I need you to make this song. And his spirit led me to my closet where all my master tapes still at. I still got my master tapes. That's intellectual property, you know?
Yeah.
So still got my master tapes. And I was looking at these master tapes and like, what am I supposed to do with these? I mean, all right, am I supposed to, is this going to, you know, I got into Christian hip hop years earlier because the hip hop was in me when I felt the need to get some music in my life. I looked for Christian art, you know? And it started off with gospel music, Israel Houghton and stuff like that. And Israel has rapping in his stuff. And that's kind of like what piqued my, man, there must be some gospel rap out there. And I got turned on to Lecrae early on, maybe 6-7 years ago, and started listening to him. Then got turned on to Cross Movement and just started listening to cats. And I've watched the genre get better year by year by year. Producers, production, the visuals, everything about the genre has gotten better. And in 2010, it was just like, it may be your turn. What I saw was that there was a lack of Texas-flavored Christian hip-hop.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta, New York, East Coast, West Coast, whatever. But it didn't have no down south. You know, Von Juan, I don't know if y'all know about Pastor Von Juan. He lives out here, mighty man of faith. And he's been holding it down for Houston for a while in the Christian hip-hop community to the best of his ability.
Of course.
And he was probably the only one who really represented for H-Town. And I'm just like, Lord, are you calling me to represent H-Town? Are you calling me? And it was just like, what better way to do it than to take the song of H-Town and give it to me? And it took me a minute, y'all. I've been working on 25 Bibles since 2010 when I got the unction. And I didn't put it out till, what, 2012?
Yeah.
Dude, I struggled with that for a long time. I was so afraid to do it because the song is such a door, and I didn't know if I would serve it justice, you know, if people was going to laugh. And I learned a lot about myself, a lot about my faith in the process, because he had me look at myself. Are you concerned about what other people think? Are you worrying about what doing what I say? You do what I say. Don't worry about other people. And it took a while for me to get to that point. And people like Crazy C, I don't know, DJ Revelation, people like Crazy C spoke into my life to help me. Man, it's a good idea. And this song literally came about in pieces, literally in pieces. As I built up enough faith to work on it, I work on it, drop a couple of bars, and then people hear it and say, man, you need to keep going. All right, drop a couple of bars. Yeah, it's coming together. Keep going. That's literally how the song come about. And then when we got it together and put it out, and to have a setup like the ZZ Top situation, that's when I knew that was like the bookmark for me to do it. When ZZ Top came out, that gave me the money to finish and to do what I did with it. And it also, I saw it as, from a business perspective, I saw it as, excuse me, the promotion that I would need. That ZZ Top brought me so much exposure out of nowhere. DMB been under a rock. And all of a sudden, ZZ Top, Hall of Fame rock group, does his song. So everybody looking for DMD now. I didn't have to go create no buzz. I didn't have to do nothing. The buzz kind of came to me. People came knocking at my door. You the one who made the original song, ZZ Top. And it was then, it was just like, now I understood. Now I got a song. So when ZZ Top point people to me, I'm going to point people to Christ. And then I'm going to use this song. And it's amazing. Last year, 25 Lighters became the very first song to ever have two remakes of two different genres of a song at the same time. That ain't never been done ever in music history. One song being remade in two different genres released at the same time. And when you see historic things like that, the Word of God teaches us that you follow that. You follow that. You follow that. That's one of the signs that I got to release the record. And I didn't know what it was going to do. I put it out to the Bible. I just threw it on the net. And I didn't know anything about the business, so I've had to learn about the new technology and how the music game works. But the testimonies that have come about as of doing it have been amazing, man. And it's like, that's kind of what I'm supposed to do. So I'm not in a rush to put a whole bunch of music together because I don't know if this is going to be my only song. I do have two more songs recorded, working on, that we're going to put out in the near future. But I'm taking my time with this, and it's not a game to me. I know how powerful music is. I know how powerful. It's not just music. It's music plus words. And when we say that, we say it's just music. It's just songs. But we forget the word aspect, the lyrics, the actual words. What I've learned through Christ is that our words have power. They have power. We were just talking about power. Kanye getting up there doing and saying what he's saying on national TV, that influence that he has with his words, and to use them so frivolously, unthoughtfully, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And God wants to teach us all how important our words are. And because of that, I'm taking my time with the words that I choose to tweet, to post, to say, to write about, because I know it's not just music. It's music and words, and those words contain power. And Christian hip-hop, because of that, contains the power, I believe, to change the world in a positive direction, because all of the words in Christian hip-hop are full of life. They come from the Word of God, which is the Word of Life, the Book of Life, the Lamb's Book of Life. And whether people agree on the religious aspect of it, what if people give Christian hip-hop a chance? And this is what I tell people. Christian hip-hop ain't for Christians. It ain't for the church. Christian hip-hop is an evangelism tool. And the way that Christian hip-hop is being made now, especially with cats like Bizzle and Lecrae, their records are made for the hood. And we need to get their records in the hood so that the hood can see that you don't have to You can be talented, and you don't have to rap about the same things all the time. You mentioned Lecrae. Lecrae won a Grammy this year. Lecrae is the top-selling gospel rap artist in the game right now. We all are kind of like using Reach Records as the model on how to put records together and sell them right now. But Bizzle, the guy that rapped on this record, if you get a chance, y'all need to go check out Bizzle. He just dropped the record last week, and it came out. It's number two in gospel record in the country. And I'm so blessed that God hooked me and him up. He lives right here in Humble.
Really?
Yes, ma'am. And it's, I don't know, God maybe is connecting all of this so I can help get him some shine. He lives right here in Humble. And his record, it's a little more street-ish than Lecrae's kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But I hope people get a chance to go check out Bizzle's record. The name of the album is called The Good Fight. And it's one of the best gospel rap records I've ever heard. And it's really good. And Bizzle blessed my song. And that was one of the things that came along the process to confirm that I was doing the right thing. Because Bizzle was one of the heavyweights in Christian hip hop. And he blessed my song. And that's why I'm here. So.
And that's definitely, I know you have to get out of here. It's you got stuff to do. All right.
Thank you guys for allowing me to say what I just said.
Praise we God. Really appreciate it. I'm glad we got to finally get this extensive interview.
Thank you, and really
dive into everything. DJ DMD, the song is 25 Bibles on My Dresser.
It's an EP.
It's an EP. You can get on
iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby. You could go to e5entertainment.com. The buy links are there. I got blogs and I got my videos. And everything is on E5 Entertainment. Go to it and you'll check me out. I got a new single coming out that I'm definitely going to make sure y'all get. I want to play it to y'all off air and get. I got a rough demo of it. And y'all can tell me what you think.
Okay, cool.
We definitely want that. Well, Peaches, you have any last words?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter if you have any. I'm joking. I'm sorry.
By the way, guys, you guys are refreshing.
She said we're refreshing.
Y'all are refreshing.
Thank you.
We appreciate that. DJ Motai, anything else you want to say? He yawned and shook his head. For the Bragging with Shaun the Man, I'm Brad Gilmore. See you next week.
You ain't the only person here.
Oh, wait.
Tyler, tell people bye.
Say bye.
Bye.
What's going on, y'all? This is DJ DMD, and y'all are checking out the Brad Gilmore Show on Demand right here.